Today's Bible reading is Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor.
The second passage is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King.
Well, if you can keep those Bible readings open in front of you, maybe put a pen or something in one and keep the other one open. We'll be kind of going between the two. If you are joining us for the first time, or if you haven't been for a while, we are doing a mini sermon series called Lockdown Questions. Some of the questions that might have gone through your mind as you were in lockdown. We looked at the response to vaccines. How does the Christians should respond? How should the Christians respond to the vaccines that are available? And today, you probably have guessed from the readings, it is about governments and Christians. So how should we look at these two? What does the Bible have to say about these two? In the past few months, we have witnessed some ugly scenes, not only around the world, but also in our own streets here in Sydney and also in Melbourne and other capital cities around Australia. People taking to the streets, protesting against governments about restrictions, lockdowns, and vaccine mandates. There were clashes with police and damages to public property. People protested that the government is taking their freedoms away, invading their privacy, violating basic human rights. They demanded the politicians to be removed, governments changed. And again, like the vaccine issue that we looked at last week, Christians were divided on this issue. Some Christians supported the government and followed the regulations very carefully, but others despised and detested governments. there were Christians in those protests that we saw on TV, carrying signs of crosses or Christian slogans. So like last week, this morning, I want us to look at this issue from a biblical point of view. What does the Bible has to say about those who are in authority, secular governments? How should the Christians respond to government regulations? The two passages that were read to us this morning were written by two of Jesus' apostles, disciples, Peter and Paul. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, everyone must submit himself to governing authorities. And again in verse 5, submission to rulers is not an optional thing. He says it is necessary. And Peter calls Christians saying in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, submit to every authority instituted among men, kings, governors, or rulers. The instruction is pretty clear, right? Christians must submit to kings, queens, presidents, and prime ministers, premiers, and their authority. But we might think, well, it's easy for Paul and Peter to say these things because they would have had a pretty easy going with the current government, with the government of his day, their day, because they were fair and really good, looked after everyone. And we might say, well, you guys didn't have to face what we are facing. Our leaders are corrupt. Our systems are corrupt. Our politicians are so wicked, power-hungry. Some of the policies that they bring, don't even talk about it. But if you think about it, Peter and Paul, knew very well how corrupt power could be in the hands of ungodly men and women. Because Paul and Peter lived and worked under one of the harshest, most cruel, ruthless, oppressive, and ungodly governments of the day, the Roman Empire. Life was hard under the Roman rule. People had to pay taxes, heavy taxes. No one was allowed to speak against the Roman Empire or the emperor. Romans had such powerful military strength, they would squash any uprising or anyone, any group that is rising against its power. And they were brutal. And it is said that there were more slaves in Rome than Roman citizens. And the tradition says Paul was in a Roman prison and he was beheaded by the Roman soldiers. And we know, don't we, that our Lord Jesus was unjustly punished by a Roman governor and crucified without any reason. You see, the first disciples, the first apostles knew what it means to live under an oppressive government and to be treated unjustly and persecuted by them. And yet they called Christians to submit to governing authorities. In Romans 13, if you have a look at verse 2, it says, not to rebel against the authorities. Verse 3, to do the right thing or to obey their rules or regulations. Verse 6 and 7, to pay taxes and revenue. Verse 7, to honor and respect those in authority. But why? Why should we submit to governing authorities? Why should we honor them and follow their regulations? I want to point three reasons this morning for us from these two readings. Submit to them because of our God consciousness. submit to them because our identity in Christ. Submit to them because of the gospel. God consciousness, our identity in Christ, and the gospel. Let's have a look at the first one. First, submit to them because of our God consciousness. As you probably were listening to the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13, you could not have missed the point that Paul was making. The secular rulers are God's servants. Paul says in verse 1 and 2, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, we who rebel against the authorities rebel against God's authority, the authority God has instituted. You see, Paul wants his readers to know the emperor and the governors, the rulers, exercise their authority by God's appointment. And if you read through, three times Paul says the rulers are servants of God or ministers, isn't it? Twice in verse 4 and once in verse 6. Verse 4, he uses the word diakonos, which we get the word deacon in a church to address these leaders. And verse 6 uses a word that is used in the Old Testament to describe a temple servant, a temple worker. And verse 4, he says, he is God's servant to do you good. And he's also God's servant, an agent of God's wrath to punish those who do wrong. You see, Paul kind of gives a very high view of these secular leaders, doesn't he? And if you read the Bible, doesn't want us to lose the sight of God and his role in appointing rulers either. If you go back to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15, it says, by me kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. Daniel says in chapter 2, verse 21, God sets up kingdoms or kings and he deposes them. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, in the Lord's hand, king's heart is a stream of water that he directs wherever he wants to. And if you notice, there is no distinction between good rulers and bad rulers, right? Again, if you look at the Old Testament, God used the Egyptians to protect and look after the Israelites until they grew in number. And we see in the Old Testament, again, God sometimes raised ungodly, wicked leaders like the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, even the Greeks, to punish his people. The same God who appointed Saul also appointed David as the king. And you may remember the words of Jesus at his trial before Pilate in John chapter 19. He looks at Pilate's eyes and he says, you would have no authority over me if it were not given to you from above. But if you know the story of Jesus didn't undermine Pilate's God-given authority, right? Rather, he subjected himself to it despite knowing it is unjust, despite knowing that he would face an unjust punishment on a cross. You see, Jesus was conscious of where Pilate's authority came from. So in verse 5 of Romans chapter 13, Paul says to the Christians, you should submit to governing authorities not only because of the fear of punishment, no, do it because of your conscience. Because what we usually do is, why do we follow regulations. Why do we obey rules and regulations? Because out of fear. We are afraid of a penalty. We are afraid of being arrested or being jailed. We don't want to pay a fine, so we do it out of fear. Here Paul says, submit because of conscience. What he means by conscience is by our theological understanding of what we are doing. What he means by that is he means for us to submit to governing authorities, knowing full well that God, in his sovereign wisdom, has appointed them. Now, they may have been elected. The power may have been inherited or grabbed by force. Regardless, they are there because God wants them there. God has put them there for his purposes. Has given them the responsibility to govern, to do good, to bring justice, to bring order, to punish the wrongdoer, and to commend those who do good. In other words, in God's providential care, he has placed rulers, governors, governments, and authorities over us. He has set them over us for good. Now, that doesn't mean every government is good. They're doing the right thing. No, they're accountable to God. In the current pandemic, the governments have the God-given responsibilities to keep the population safe, care for those in need and the vulnerable. They have the God-given responsibility to be good stewards of the economy. And so we must be thankful for the governors, the governments that we have over us. And we must constantly pray for them and commit them and thank God for them. And we must always commend them for doing good. And we must submit to them because of our God consciousness. The second reason why we must obey or submit to authorities is because of our identity. Because of our identity.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is again, I'm going to get that mixed now, Paul and Peter, but I'll try and keep that in mind, okay? Now, Peter is teaching about submitting to governing authorities. And he says in verse 16, live as free men and women. And later on he says, live as servants of God. You see, Peter reminds the readers of their identity, doesn't he? We are free men and women of Christ. What does he mean by that? He's talking about the freedom that we have because we have trusted in Jesus. Jesus has set us free to love, to forgive, to be patient, to do good. He had freed us from sinful influences. And he has given us the ability to willingly submit. We are able to have the God consciousness that we talked about in the first point because God has rescued our conscience. He has rescued our hearts, our minds, so that we can relate to him. We can think thoughts after him. Once we were enemies of God, but now we are servants of God. We serve God. We are now free to serve God freely. Which means verse 16, Peter says, we shouldn't use our freedom as a cover-up for evil. We shouldn't use our freedom to disobey those who God has put over us in places of authority. Instead, use your freedom to do good. Use your freedom to do the right thing. Last week, use your freedom to build others up, to protect, to help others, to love others. What does that look like for the Romans, for Peter's readers? In verse 17, it means to respect every human being made in the image of God, to love your Christian brothers and sisters deeply, sincerely, and from the heart, to live with reverent fear of God, honor or submit and respect the King even when it is hard to do so. See, when we submit to those in authority, friends, when we follow the rules and the regulations set by our politicians, it is not a sign of lack of faith or trust in God. No, it is showing our faith in God. Christians are able to show our conscience of God. We are able to display the lordship of Jesus over our lives as we live our lives in obedience to His commands, as we follow His footsteps. Because when we are living as Christians, what we do is we are not just believing in Jesus, no, we are following Jesus, aren't we? If we are following Jesus, if you're going on His footsteps, we say, okay, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. And we trust that God has set rulers and we submit ourselves to them so that we may honor God, that we may show our identity in Christ. And the third reason why we submit to authorities is because of the gospel. Because of the gospel. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it is God's will for us to silence the foolish talk by doing good deeds. Now, no doubt many of Peter's readers were already being mocked for their strange beliefs of Jesus and of the cross and the resurrection and some of their practices like eating, when they've got together, when they were eating bread and drinking wine, they said, we are eating flesh and blood. And some would have been blamed for causing civil disobedience, Christians, because they looked like they were not following Caesar. Because for the Romans, Caesar was God. But Christians said, no, Jesus is God. So there was this instant tension, wasn't it? People looked at Christians with suspicion. It would have been hard for people to hear the gospel because they knew that Christians were accused of being lawless. The doors for the gospel would have been closed. Although the state was in the wrong, Peter calls on the Christians to subject to the governing authorities, to do good, to do the right thing, to be law-abiding citizens, even when it is inconvenient for us to do so. Because as we do, as they do, they won't leave room for people to talk bad about God. They won't bring the gospel into disrepute. In other words, friends, Peter wants us to see gospel opportunities when we submit to governing authorities. Our submission to governing authorities, following health orders, not rebelling against the authority, our efforts to do the right thing, do the good thing in these times may sometimes open the way for people to come to know Jesus. There will be gospel opportunities. In the current pandemic, except for a couple of occasions in Australia, the churches have been widely praised and commended for following government regulations. Because we stopped meeting in person. We've made sure that we follow safe distances. We've refrained from singing and hugging, although it is in our DNA to do so. We have worn masks and sanitized our hands in every corner. By and large, churches have encouraged its members to be vaccinated. And churches have become distribution centers and vaccination hubs and testing clinics. And there is this growing openness to the gospel and the church in general. I don't know about you, but I have had opportunities with our neighbors who are non-Christians, with my physiotherapist who is a non-Christian, to talk about church. And they do ask, how is the church doing? How are you responding to gospel? Are you going to open the church? Why are you going to open the church? There has been opportunities to talk about God, and there's this openness to listen to the gospel. And that is because I think there's this general sense Christians are law-abiding. Christians want to do the right thing. And we must submit to those in authority for the sake of the gospel. Now, before I finish, submission does not mean that we disobey God. We must always obey God's word. When Peter himself was told not to preach the gospel in Acts chapter 4, he told the authorities, well, that he would be obeying God rather than men. Again, if you look at the Old Testament, we see people like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in Babylon when King Nebuchadnezzar told them to obey rules such as worshipping the emperor, worshipping the king. They didn't want to. They refused to. And there were consequences. They did everything else. But when it came to disobeying God, when it came to not worshiping God, they refused to do that. And we see Queen Esther, another example, who stood against evil rulers and rules. She didn't rebel. No, she prayed. And then she planned carefully and wisely to stop the massacre of innocent civilians. So when the rulers ask us to stop worshiping God or disobey God's word, we must always choose to obey God's word. We must look for ways that we can change some of these wicked rules, laws that might be imposed on us. We must pray for our governments. We must write to our politicians whenever we can. We must seek to improve and reform governments, but do that always in a way that brings honor to God. Now, I've told this before, 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, I've lost track, but Foster and I were in China for about a week, and it was so obvious that we were foreigners in a foreign land. But being foreigners or being visitors in China did not give us the freedom to disobey the laws of the land, the Chinese law. We had to respect the rules and the regulations. We had to respect the police. We had to abide by what the Chinese did. And we had to submit to their authority whether we liked what we did or not. And as Christians, that is who we are, aren't we? Although we are free to do everything, although we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, it is necessary for us to submit to governing authorities here on this earth for God's sake. We must pay taxes. We must obey the traffic rules gun laws and anti-corruption laws and anti-money laundering laws. We must obey the health orders that has been put over us for our good because of our conscience of God, because of our identity in Christ, and because of the opportunities for the gospel. You see, our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. But while we are on earth, we obey human rulers so that we might be good citizens of the King we serve, the God of the universe, God of the nations. As we live our lives here, that is why God has placed us, isn't it? He has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can praise him, we can glorify him, we can lead others to do that too. And one way that God has called us to do that is by submitting to the authorities that he has placed us under.